We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too. It's lovely going through the zoo. It's very fancy on old Delancey Street, you know. The subways charm us so when balmy breezes blow to and fro. And tell me what street...
Read any history of New York City and you'll read about men. Judy Scalfo's new book, The Women Who Made New York, aims to tell the full story. The story of the women whose vital contributions helped make New York the cultural epicenter of the world. In a celebration of her new book and of the start of Women's History Month, she will be at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, New York, on Wednesday, the 1st of March at 6 o'clock for a reading and signing from the book. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Julie Scalfo to the roundtable this morning. Julie, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
How did this big project get started for you?
You know, it was actually an idea that came from my editor at Seal Press. She noticed that a book had never been written about the women who made New York and brought me the idea. And I began researching the history of New York City and looking for women whose names we knew and also women whose names we had never heard before and compiling a list of all the women who helped make New York. And that was just the beginning of the odyssey. Then I had to sort of ask myself the question, well, what is New York City? How do you define it? And certainly it's all of the physical places that we all think about, like Broadway or Wall Street or Harlem. But also New York is kind of a spirit and has this long tradition of transformation and energy and the arts and culture, social justice movements. And I began to think about the history of those things, too.
Do you give yourself a criteria and do you give yourself a time frame, meaning of how what you're going to look over how many years, a chronology?
You know, I tried to go back as far as I could possibly go, and I was able to find and include one woman from the 1600s. And this is someone who had come from England and settled up in Massachusetts, but the Puritans didn't treat her so well. So she formed her own group and trekked down to what is now Brooklyn and set up Gravesend, which is a city and a neighborhood in Brooklyn that's still in place today. I tried to find even older examples, but the Lenape tribes who lived in Manhattan Island before the Europeans got there, you know, their tradition and the way they lived was to not sort of make permanent alterations to the land. They really adapted their living style to the season. So I couldn't find an example of a Lenape woman who helped make what is now New York City. But in every case, the criteria I set to be included in the book was that the woman had to have done something that changed permanently what New York is, meaning that New York City just would not have been the same place without this woman. So it's not a book of firsts. You know, a lot of women were the first to do something. For example, the first Asian American woman to join the NYPD. I mean, that's an impressive accomplishment and it's certainly important. But that person is not in this book because that's not what the book is about. These are about the women without whom New York City wouldn't be the same place.
I love how you set it up because there's categories and the categories, and I obviously can't go through all of them, but just to give you an example, a few, the Advocates, Wall Street, Harlem Renaissance, the Great White Way, the Style Setters, the Artists, the Educators, the Loudmouths, the Grocers, the In Crowd, and the Wisecrackers. Interesting way to decide to go about it.
Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about how to present this information. I mean, at some point I was kind of overwhelmed because originally the idea was to have a list of just 25 women who made New York. But I came up with hundreds upon hundreds of names, and there was just no way to narrow it down to that few. So I tried to create a list of all the things that women had made and sort of identify what were those things. So in some cases it was physical structure, like the Brooklyn Bridge, for example, which wouldn't be there if Emily Warren Robles hadn't completed it. But in other cases, it was the counterculture movement or the arts or comedy or liberation. You know, the women's suffrage movement took place in great part in New York City. And I think sometimes that history is overlooked.
How much digging did you have to do into the history? Meaning, do we obscure that history of women and their participation and their accomplishments, or once you're looking for it, it is easier to find?
It's such a good question. I mean, sometimes this information is just right in plain view, but it was overlooked in the past. And other times you have to do some digging. So, you know, you'll notice in the back of the Women Who Made New York in the index, we did something very unusual. We only included women's names in the index. And when you first look at it, it's kind of jarring because you realize that it's not complete. All of the men were left out. And that doesn't make sense, right? Because certainly men were a big part of New York City's history too. But that experience makes you realize for a second that when you go back and you look at most of the history books that have been written by men throughout American history, how often they neglected to tell women's stories. And the women were there just as long as the men were there, and they were doing things that were just as important as what the men were doing. But the habit of our society was to not pay as much attention, and so they were often excluded.
That idea of the women who made New York, so let's just take the made New York part, and obviously many different accomplishments in a whole slew of categories, but we always grapple with this idea of what makes New York, New York. So I'm curious as to, just for that criteria of an accomplishment by a woman that says, okay, that was very typically New York.
Well, you know, that's why I named the categories the way I did. You know, what would New York City be without Broadway? So I had to include a category for Broadway. And certainly we all think of Madison Avenue and we think of Wall Street as big parts of New York City. And so I included both of those categories. But I also can't help thinking of sort of the counterculture spirit. I mean, look at Patti Smith. What would New York City be without Patti Smith and what she represents to so many people and, you know, which she describes so beautifully in her books about New York City and coming of age in New York City. And so I created a category called the Counterculturalist, and it's all of these different women through in different decades in New York City history helped shine a light on things that make some people different than everybody else. I mean, that's part of what has been the great tradition of New York, right, is that not everybody is the same. And even if you are different or have a different way of looking about things or you don't fit into the standard typical categories, whether it's because of your sexuality or your gender identity or how you look, you know, those people have always found a home in New York.
As you mentioned at the end of the book, there is an index of names. If you look at that index as the author now, is there a name or two that you look at and say, wow, when I started this project, I certainly didn't think I would have included that name?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I thought I knew everything about New York, and I wrote my first draft of all the women I was going to include. One example is Bernadette Peters. But then as I was doing my research, I realized, well, Ethel Merman was Bernadette Peters before Bernadette Peters was even born, right? So Bernadette Peters, who's an iconic Broadway figure, you know, she got bumped out of the list, and Ethel Merman is in there. So there's a lot of women who I had never even heard of. You know, I never imagined how important the women who were physicians and played a role in tackling public health, you know, how important they would be. But when the different waves of immigrants arrived in New York City and they were living in the tenements, there were so many people. It was more crowded than, it was said to be more crowded than the slums of Calcutta. And disease was rampant and child and infant mortality rates were really high. And it was Sarah Josephine Baker, who was an early physician in the New York City Health Department, who really began to understand the importance of prevention and who created programs to help keep the city's families from getting sick. And thanks to that, now we had a stable workforce. And that allowed other industries in New York City to grow. So their contributions were really essential and too often overlooked. And I hope this book is the first step in trying to correct that wrong.
The book is very important and very interesting. It is also a beautiful work of art in and of itself. Talk a little bit about the art of the book.
Oh, well, thanks for saying that. You know, we tried really hard to make this not just informative, but a beautiful volume, something that could sit on your coffee table and be a gift, and something that was readily accessible. So each biography, there's over 100, they're only from 1 to 3 pages long. So they're short. You know, you could read, you could put this book down and pick it back up and not have to worry if you lost your place. And a big part of that are these original illustrations by the artist Hallie Heald. And Hallie's a young artist. She paints. sense. All of these came from her mind, and to do the work, we collaborated, and I would describe sort of these women and everything I had learned about their history and their personality and their spirit, and then she would go back and do sort of research on their physical appearance and study every photograph she could find, every film or video if one was available, and then she would try and generate a single portrait that really captured the essence of what these women represent. And so we tried to create a book that would not only inspire people to read about these women, but also that represented the city itself. You know, in all of the faces you see there, they include women who are quite well known and famous, like Yoko Ono or Iris Apfel, Susan Sontag, but also women you may have never heard of, like Uma Meisterkar or La Lupe. And these are women who had important contributions, and without whom, without all of the different ethnic groups that make up New York City, it just wouldn't be the same place.
The name of the book is The Women Who Made New York. The author is Julie Scalfo, and you will be celebrating the book as well as the start of Women's History Month on Wednesday, the 1st of March, at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, New York at 6 o'clock. And you can find out more about that event by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. The event is Wednesday, the 1st of March at 6 o'clock. A celebration of Women's History Month, as well as the new book, The Women Who Made New York, by Julie Scalfo. Julie, thank you very much for sharing with us. Very nice to have you on the program. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, The Women Who Made New York, the event March 1st at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
The great big cities. A wondrous tie, just made for a girl and boy. We'll turn Manhattan into an eye.